Most people today reject the Bible as authoritative in life and practice. They deny that it has any authority in their life as to how they live their life in a day-to-day basis. They reject its inspiration. Instead, they elevate man to a position of authority, and we go on a how-we-feel basis to decide what of the Bible, if any, we accept as authoritative. We have science, philosophy, and psychology that we have elevated to positions of authority, and we look to those to guide us and direct us in our lives. And that is the position of the world today. They reject the scriptures as authoritative in life. And if we see that from the world and from those who do not name the name of Christ, it shouldn't surprise us, should it? At least it doesn't surprise me, because they don't know God. They've rejected God. They don't know Him. So therefore, it is easy for them to reject the scriptures as authoritative. So I'm not surprised when I see the world reject the scriptures. But I must confess, I feel very grieved in my soul and in my spirit when I sense that same kind of rejection of the authority of the scriptures in the Church of Jesus Christ and among those who name the name of Christ and call Him Lord. For you see, I sense in the Church of Jesus Christ today that same kind of an attitude that I observe in the world, that of rejecting the scriptures as authoritative in life and practice. And there are some clues that give me that conclusion. For example, we neglect the scriptures. Many of us will let days pass before we turn our attention to the scriptures for direction and for encouragement. And also we find in our lives as believers so often we are more ready to conform to the practices of the world around us than we are to the clear direction of God's Word. Yes, there are many clues that indicate and prove to us that even believers reject the Scriptures as authoritative in life. And as a consequence, the Church of Jesus Christ today suffers. And we've suffered in many ways. For example, we have grieved the Spirit of God, and we quench His work and ministry in our hearts and lives, as individuals and collectively as the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have set aside His power in our lives, so that many of us completely lack the supernatural power of the Spirit of God in our lives. We need spiritual revival. We need once again that outpouring of God upon us with His glorious presence by the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Those are the consequences of setting aside the Scriptures as authoritative in life. And there are many causes as to why we have come to that position and that condition in the Church of Jesus Christ today. It started out with unbelief. We don't really believe the Scriptures. And since we don't really believe the Scriptures, it is very easy then to disobey them and to set their commands aside and to instead follow the path of our own choice and according to the dictates of our own sinful human nature. If we are once again to ever experience the outpouring of God in our hearts and lives in spiritual revival, we must once again understand and believe the authority of the Scriptures in life, the fact that they are divinely inspired. And because they are divinely inspired, we take them as our sole rule for life and practice. We find as we examine the church going back through history that this problem is not new. It isn't just a new one of our current day. But it was a problem that was faced by the New Testament church as well. And Peter faced it. And he wrote a letter to believers to encourage them to believe the Scriptures. And we find in 2 Peter, his second letter, he takes this position. And he goes after the early church in the New Testament, and he tries to lay out for them the inspiration of the Scriptures, as well as why we need to use them as our guide in life and practice. If you have scriptures nearby, I would encourage you to turn to the book of 2 Peter. It's way towards the back. It's a small book. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll just read a few verses from that chapter and then we'll examine them to see the encouragement and the direction they give us to this pertinent topic and subject of the authority of God's Word in our lives. Listen as I read, starting in verse 19. It says this, "But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." From this passage, I want to examine with you today the authority and the inspiration of God's Word and how it can affect and impact and change our lives. And I pray that the Spirit of God will use these truths in your life today to encourage you, to correct you, to bring you to spiritual revival in your daily experience. I want you to notice, first of all, in this passage here, in talking about the Scriptures, I want you to notice, first of all, that it talks about the reliability of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are reliable. Notice what it says in verse number 19. It says this, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now, at first glance, that might appear that he's making a comparison between this is more sure than, say, this book is. But that is not the approach that Peter is taking. There's a little bit missed sometimes in the English language as it is translated from the original Greek. In actuality, what Peter is saying is, we have a word of prophecy that has been made sure, that has been confirmed, that has been proven true. We have a sure word of prophecy. We have a word that we can trust. It is reliable. It is trustworthy. And then he gives some explanation as to why that word is trustworthy. If you back up a little bit earlier in the chapter, you find that Peter gives a couple of explanations why the word is reliable. First of all, he gives his own personal testimony. He gives his testimony about how he walked with Christ. He lived with him. He observed him. He watched him. He ministered with him. He ate with him. He had leisure time with him. He prayed with him. He spent time with the Lord. And he says, on the authority of my personal experience with the Lord Jesus, what the Scriptures tell us about Jesus are true. I saw them firsthand. I observed them. I know them to be true. And then he goes from that personal experience to explain how he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. That day when the Lord just took a couple of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they went upon the mountain, and there before their eyes, the Scriptures tell us, he was transfigured. He was changed so that they saw him in his glorious condition. They saw that. Peter saw it. And he said, I have seen that. I was on the mountain when the Lord Jesus was changed before my eyes. And I'm telling you that because of my personal experience, we have a word we can trust. It is reliable. And then the third thing he gives us is explanation as to why that word is reliable. He said, on that mountain, we heard the voice of God. The voice of God spoke from heaven and said, this is my Son. Hear him. Follow him. Listen to him. This is my Son, my one and only Son. Naming the Lord Jesus as more than just a man, but the God-man, the one who was God in the flesh, the incarnate Son of God. And Peter says, because of my experience, I am telling you, this word is sure. It is reliable. It is trustworthy. So therefore, my friend, I would encourage you today, we should heed the Scriptures because it is reliable. It is trustworthy. The Lord Jesus Himself used the Scriptures to explain Himself and His life and who He was. We read in Luke 24, for example, on the road to Emmaus, as He talked with those two disciples of His who were fearful. It was the resurrection day, and the tomb was empty, and the Lord came alongside them, and He talked with them. And as He talked with them, it says He explained to them the Scriptures beginning with Moses and the prophets. So the Lord Jesus Himself used these Scriptures to defend Himself, to explain Himself, to reveal who He was, and that He was the promised one from the Old Testament prophecies. So Peter says we should take these words and use them as our guide for life and godliness because they're reliable. They're trustworthy. They're confirmed. They're proven true. I want you to notice the second thing about God's Word that Peter shares for us in this passage, and that's this. He shows us the capability of God's Word. Not only is it reliable, but God's Word is effective in life. Notice what it says, starting in verse number 19. It says this, "We have a sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." Peter says this word is reliable, and because it is reliable, you do well to take heed to it. Why? Because it is like a light that shines in a dark place. I think all of us have had the experience, I'm sure you have, of being in darkness and where you needed a candle or a flashlight or a headlight of a car or a light in a room that dispels the darkness. We turn on the light and it dispels the darkness. Light does a number of things for us, doesn't it? It illuminates the darkness. It shows us that which is false. It also shows us that which is true. It gives us direction. The Scriptures say, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." And Peter says, "The Word of God is capable. Take heed to it because it is like a light." It's like a light that shines in a dark place. It illuminates. It dispels the darkness. It shows that which is false. It shows us that which is true. It gives us direction. Now notice where that leads us then. It says here, it is like a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn. Now, you know what it's like to see the sunrise in the morning, how suddenly there's the light there and we see, and it's bright. Peter uses that example to describe what the Word of God does in our hearts and lives. It's like the day dawning. It opens our eyes to see Jesus Christ and who He is and what He died on the cross to accomplish. And about His character and His attributes and His nature. And the Scriptures reveal to us Jesus Christ. And Peter says, the Word of God is like a light that shines in a dark place until you see the truth. Until you finally see who Jesus Christ is. And then it says, it shines on farther until the day star arises in our hearts. So that the Word of God is like a light. It shines. It gives us understanding. And as that understanding takes root in our hearts and in our lives, we come to a more complete understanding of Jesus Christ and who He is in our hearts and lives and what He wants to accomplish in the lives of His believers until the day star arises, until we come to a more full, complete understanding of Jesus Christ. Peter says, take heed to the Word of God. It's trustworthy. and take heed to it because it is effective. It is capable. It will accomplish something in your life. It will open your eyes to see and understand Jesus Christ and who He is and what He wants to accomplish in the hearts and lives of those who trust Him. Now, Peter goes on to show us a third thing about the Scriptures. He explains actually why the Scriptures are reliable and why the Scriptures are capable. And that's because they're inspired. He talks to us third about the inspiration of the Scriptures. Notice, starting in verse 20 of chapter 1, he says this, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here. Notice that this word of God did not come by some person's interpretation. It wasn't some individual who concocted a devious scheme or some fable or some strange story. It came not from man's imagination. I want you to notice, secondly, it came not from the will of man. Man did not set out and predetermine that he was going to write a Bible and that he was going to write a Scripture and try and fool the world that they should follow it. It came not by man's own imagination, nor did it come by man's own personal design and purpose. No, Peter reminds us here that the Scriptures came as God spoke to them. Holy men of God wrote and spoke as God moved them with the Holy Ghost. That word there that says as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the literal meaning is that they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. Man was a passive instrument. Oh, man was the vehicle, yes. Men wrote the Scriptures physically, yes. They used the mind and the intellect and the reasoning of individuals in the books, yes. But you see, the Spirit of God used those men of God as His instrument. And it was the Spirit of God who moved them along, who gave them the words, who gave them the language, who gave them the thought, who gave them the data, the information that they wrote in their books. Peter, for example, did not write 2 Peter of his own will, nor was it of his own imagination. But the Spirit of God moved upon Peter to write the words that we call 2 Peter. So that the Scriptures are inspired of God. They are not just the words of a babbling idiot. They are the language of heaven, spoken through human instruments, that we might know God and that we might more understand His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He came to accomplish for sinful man. So Peter, in facing the conflict of his day, where believers in that New Testament church were questioning the authority of God's Word and were elevating men to a position of authority and were listening to the philosophy of its age, Peter wrote to them to explain the position of the Scriptures, the authority of God's Word in life. And he said to them, "My friends, it's reliable. You can trust God's Word." He said, "It's effective. God's Word is capable. It can produce change in your life. It can help you understand Jesus Christ. And it can accomplish those things because it's inspired. Because the Spirit of God moved through human instruments to write God's message to man." I have a question for you. What does the Spirit of God want these truths to accomplish in your heart and life today? Well, the first thing He wants to accomplish is He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to know the truth about God's Word. It isn't just another book. It isn't just a book of some human imagination or devious design of mankind, but rather it is God's inspired message to man, in which He reveals Himself and He reveals His Son, Jesus Christ, and what Jesus Christ came to earth to accomplish for sinful men like you and like me. He wants us to know the truth. And in knowing the truth, we will set aside that which is false. Then we will set aside those practices of life that are false. Then we will set aside those false notions that we have come to believe about God's Word. That we will set those aside and instead adhere and believe the truth. So the first thing He wants you to know is the truth, that you might mold and shape your life around the truth. That's the first thing. The second thing the Spirit of God wants to do with these truths today is He wants to convict you of sin. He wants to point out in your life where you have disbelieved the authority of God's Word, the fact that it is God's message to mankind. He wants to point that out in your life. And He will convict you of your sin and will point out where, because of your unbelief, you have then fallen into disobedience. You have walked in a life and a style of life different from what the Scriptures teach and what they would call you to believe. You see, the truths of God's Word are there to convict us of our sin. That's the second thing that the Spirit of God wants to do with these truths. The third thing the Spirit of God wants to do with these truths is He wants to correct you. You see, He doesn't just convict you of sin to make you uncomfortable, but He does that for a purpose, and that purpose is to change you, to correct you, to bring you to that which is true. Where in your life today has the Spirit of God pinpointed unbelief regarding God's Word? And where you have accepted the pattern of the world and you have conformed to it and you have questioned God's Word and its role in your life? Where have you disobeyed God's Word because you didn't believe it? Where has the Spirit of God pinpointed in your life practices that you now must deny and that you must leave because the Scriptures teach against them? And they teach a lifestyle that is different from your daily practice. Where has the Spirit of God pointed out those things in your life? He has done that to correct you. He has done that to point out to you that there is relief in Jesus Christ. The Scriptures tell us about the Lord Jesus and how He came to die for the sins of sinful men like you and like me. And we can find relief through faith in Jesus Christ. And we can find cleansing for our sin. Perhaps today is the first time that the Spirit of God has opened your eyes to see that truth. I would call you today then, my friend, to trust Christ. Turn to Him. Permit Him to wash away your sin and to cleanse you and to give you new life. For some of you and for you today, perhaps you know Jesus Christ. And you have questioned God's Word in places, but in part you have followed God's Word. Then today, my friend, the Spirit of God wants to correct you as well and wants to bring you to repentance and wants to turn you to full belief and full obedience in God's Word. A last question. What changes does the Spirit of God require in your life today because of these truths? You can just set them aside and you can say, everybody's following this other pattern of life and I'm going to follow it too. You can choose to do that. Or you can yield to the work and ministry of the Spirit of God in your heart and life today. The Lord Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. And that's what He wants to do in your heart and life today. He wants to set you free. He wants to set you free through faith in Jesus Christ. And I would challenge you today that as the Spirit of God has worked in your heart and life, that you will permit Him to bring you to a place of repentance, where He will bring you to a place of confession of sin, where you will trust Christ, and where you will turn from your sin and find relief in the blood of Jesus Christ. that can be yours today. I pray that you will yield to that work and ministry of the Spirit of God in your life and experience that refreshing revival in your life from the hand of Jesus Christ.